Amen. What a blessing that song was, and how we need to lift our praise for the world to know. And the world definitely needs to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and believers praising Him and for His truths. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, we have been studying the life of Joshua, and it's been for some time now before we ever got into the book of Joshua. There was much there to learn about the man Joshua and his background and all that God was doing in his life and preparing him for this book of Joshua, and to see what he would be accomplishing with the life that God gave him to live. And he would take over the position that Moses had. And what a scary thought to take over the position of someone like Moses. And yet he had to realize that he was Joshua. And God used Moses as God wanted to use Moses. Now God would use Joshua as God wanted to use Joshua. And he just needed to be all that he could be for God to use him. And so we praise the Lord. I trust that that's a help, just getting to know that. Last week, Joshua reminded the 2.5 tribes that would stay on this side of the Jordan. He reminded them of their obligations and then their allegiance to God and to their brethren, the rest of the family of Israel. And we kind of studied that, and I think it's important for us to understand our obligations as born-again believers to God and then to the family of God. I think it's important for us to understand our allegiance, and we ought to have an allegiance to our God and to the church and the family that God's given to us. And so I trust that was a help as we studied that last week. And now we're leading up to Israel being ready to go into the promised land. And they would be crossing the Jordan River, relying on God to part the Jordan and all the things that was taking place. But Joshua chapter 2, Joshua does something that didn't know for sure he was going to do. We don't find that God commanded him to do this, but we find that Joshua sends spies into Jericho. And so chapter 2 is mainly about Rahab and what the spies encounter when they get there and all the things that go on with Rahab. And that's a great story. There's a lot there to learn about the spies and their encounter with Rahab and how God would use and work through Rahab. But that's not the study we're in on Wednesday night. We're in a study on the life of Joshua. And so in chapter 2, we have the beginning of chapter 2 and the end of chapter 2 that gives us insight into the life of Joshua. I don't know that Joshua ever had reason to talk to Rahab. And so it really wouldn't come into play when it comes to studying the life of Joshua. Rahab is really not anything that Joshua dealt with outside of sending the spies in. And so we're going to be reading chapter 2, verse 1. And then we're going to read the end of chapter 2, verse 22 to verse 24, because this deals with the life of Joshua, okay? And we're going to learn from that tonight. So go ahead and stand with me. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now drop down to verse 22. And they went and came into the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, "Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for the privilege of just being in church and the health to be here. And I know many would love to be here if they could, and I just pray that you might just, Lord, strengthen each one and help each one that's not able to be here but wants to be here so that they could return and be here at the services. Now, I pray, God, that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So, Joshua sent spies. I don't know about you, that to me, it causes me to wonder. We don't find here in the book of Joshua that God tells Joshua to send spies. But we don't find that he tells him not to send spies. Is Joshua, having been given the position to lead the nation of Israel, and because of the position he had to lead the nation of Israel, he needed to have some confirmation. He needed to have some possible information, more information. He had to be at peace with leading God's people across the Jordan and back into the promised land. And so we find here that the Bible says that Joshua said to them, "Go view the land, even Jericho," or focusing on Jericho. He says, "I want you to go in, I want you to go to Jericho, and I want you to view everything that you're able to see, and all the information that you're able to gather in Jericho, so that you can bring it back to me." Now, to start with, we think, here we go again. Didn't we just go through this 40 years earlier? 40 years earlier, just a few chapters in the Bible, but it was 40 years. And Moses, who had the same position that Joshua had, instructed 12 men, each leaders of their tribes, to go do the same thing. And that didn't work out too well. Because they came back, discouraged all the people, and caused God to bring judgment down upon the people, and sent them back into the wilderness to die. And it would only be those that were too young to be a part of the decision making, and it would be two men that God would use that wanted to go in, Joshua and Caleb. They would be the only ones that would actually, of all of those, that would go into the promised land. That's all that's going to go into the promised land. But we're there. Joshua, no doubt, can remember it. You don't forget things like that, even though it had been 40 years. He remembered it from a different perspective, though. He did not have the position that Moses had. He was one of the spies. Now he has the position that Moses had. And he chooses to send spies into Jericho. Did Joshua learn anything from his experiences in the past? Do we continue to make the same mistakes over and over again? Some people get into a cycle. And if we're not careful, we'll all just repeat over and over again the same mistakes. If we don't learn from our past mistakes, you're going to continue to make the same mistake over and over and over again. Sad when it happens. And we look at this and I think, Joshua, didn't you learn? Are you making a mistake? Some say that Joshua lacked faith and trusting that God was going to deliver them without him sending spies in. So his lack of faith was going to send the spies in. I don't believe that. This was a decision made according to faith. Faith in knowing God's will. Moses was not wrong in sending men to spy out the land of Jericho. Matter of fact, God instructed Moses to send men to spy out the land of Jericho. Just to remember this, to bring us back to where we need to be in understanding this, go back into the book of Numbers in chapter 13. Numbers in chapter 13, because it's been recorded and we find this. This is Moses preparing to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land under God's leading. And we find here in Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Somehow they left that part out. They were going into a land that God says, I'm going to give it to you. The plan was not flawed. The thinking of the men was flawed. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Joshua was one of them. He understood that. Joshua knew that Moses was sending him as one of the heads of the tribes of Israel, and he was sending him based upon the will of God. So now it's Joshua's turn to be hold the position that Moses held 40 years earlier, and we don't find God coming to Joshua and telling Joshua to send in spies, but Joshua understood the plan that God had for them. So he made the decision based upon faith in knowing God's will. Not that Moses was wrong, because God has designed human involvement. And as God has designed human involvement, then God wants us to do everything that we can do. And God will do his part. God could do everything himself. But then man wouldn't need God. And God wouldn't need man. God wants human involvement so that there can be a relationship between man and God. Doing what he had instructed Moses to do, for Joshua to do somewhat the very same thing, was based on Joshua knowing what the will of God was. The will of God was for them to do their part and go into the land, spy it out, come back, give the report that God wanted them to give, and then go take the land. They didn't accomplish that the first time, but it wasn't because of a flawed plan. It was because of a flawed execution by the ones that were designed or called to go in and to come back and give information about God already giving us the land. Not whether we should take the land or not, but how God would have us to take the land. Joshua learned from their failures. He did. Because chapter 2 and verse 1, now he finds himself in the very same position that Moses had. He remembers everything about what Moses did, how God instructed. He knew God's will. He had faith in knowing God's will for them to send spies in. But he tweaks it a little bit. God didn't tell him to send the heads of all 12 in this time. two men sent out of Shittim, two men to spy secretly. Did you catch that? He limited the possibility of man's failures. Twelve went in the first time around. How many of those 12 brought back the will of God, the report that God wanted them to bring back? Two. So if I'm sitting in Joshua's place and God doesn't tell me, but I know that it's God's will for human involvement, and if I look back and I see what failed the last time, it was 10 men failed, but two were successful, and if they would have listened to the two, they would have possessed the land 40 years earlier. And by possessing the land 40 years earlier, all of those others would not have died in the wilderness. So I love it. Joshua now has a position. He says, what can I do inside the will of God, knowing it's the will of God, but to limit the failures of humanity? Do you get that? Are you seeing that? He limited the possibility of man's failures. He only sent two spies in, limiting the possibility of failure. Yeah, those two could have done what the 10 did earlier. But it was still God's will to do our part. And so doing God's will by sending was the right thing to do. And since God didn't tell him to send 12 this time, he might have left it up to Joshua's wisdom and the position that he had and what he learned from the first time. And he was well within his leadership position to only send in two. And that's what he did. I wonder tonight, because that's a huge truth right there. That's something that you might have overlooked in the past. But there is a powerful lesson there to learn from that. Are we limiting the possibilities of our failures? Are we limiting the possibilities of our individual failures in this life? Not doing what God would have us to do is that's not the solution. That is not the direction to go. We have to do what God has commanded us to do, but how we do it is something that we better reevaluate if it hasn't worked in the past. Is it because I'm not learning from my mistakes? I'm not tweaking what I need to tweak with the wisdom of God in making the decisions and going in the direction that God would have me to go in. As we understand biblical principles, one of the things that we find in biblical principles and limiting our failures is once you understand God's will, act on it as quickly as possible. Because by waiting around and letting Satan or myself or somebody else, 10 other men, talk me out of it is not the answer. It's not the way to do it. Once I understand it's God's will, then I'm not looking for an excuse not to do it. I'm not praying any longer about what God would have me to do. I am not giving anyone opportunity or anything opportunity to keep me from doing what God has called me to do. And sometimes we just need to act upon what we already know that God would have us to do. Yeah. You open the door of possibilities the longer you wait of making a mistake. When God speaks to you in the services about something in your life, God speaks to you about something he wants you to do, something he wants you to confess, when there's conviction there, that's the time. Don't say, well, maybe next week, a more convenient season. Once you know it, you got to act upon it. Are we limiting the possibilities of our failures? A second thing here is, don't allow yourself to be in a place of temptation. Don't allow yourself to be put, or don't put yourself in a place where you are going to be tempted to do something that's not according to the will of God. In Matthew chapter 6, let me just read to you. You know the verse very well. It's Jesus teaching Christians how to pray. And one of the things that he says in his understanding of prayer and what we ought to pray for, in chapter 6 and verse 13, he says this, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." God, lead us not into temptation, but help me to go in the direction you'd have me to go. And help me when I'm putting myself in a place of temptation, help me to understand it and not go there. Most sins would not be committed if we did not put ourselves in a place where we're tempted to commit that sin. If you're going to put yourself in that place of temptation, then you are opening up the possibilities of your failures to live right, and you're opening up the possibility of committing that sin. Every one of us ought to know the sin that so easily besets us. We all have them. And usually, if you just look over your life, you'll be able to see, because you've repeatedly gone over that and over that, and you've fallen back into the same sin, the very same trap that Satan set for you. And it's because you continue to put yourself in a place of temptation where Satan's able to tempt you to commit that sin. Learn from those things and understand these biblical principles that Joshua understood. I'm not sending 12 back in. No, I don't have to. The Bible didn't say that. I believe God's will is for us to send spies, but I'm sending 2. Yeah. Don't allow yourself to be put in a place of temptation. Stay away from it. If you know that you have a weakness to certain sins, don't put yourself in any position to where you're tempted by that sin. Now, I know people that won't eat in restaurants that serve alcohol. I don't have that conviction because I've never been really drawn to alcohol. But if that is a weakness of mine, if that is something that I had shown in my life that I have a weakness to, and if I'm around alcohol, I'm going to have a temptation to desire alcohol. I remember back in all the different pleasant experiences.
you tend to forget all the negative experiences and you want to think of, and that's how it happens. And then you put yourself there, and before you know it, because you're drawn to that, then you're tempted by that and you'll go and you'll commit that sin. If that's you, I would recommend that you never eat in a restaurant that serves alcohol, because you're putting yourself in a place of temptation if it's right next to you, or the table over here, or the table over there. Only you know your tendency for sin. Don't continue to put yourself in that very same place of temptation. Learn from it. Are we limiting the possibilities of our failures? Keep your mind pure. Keep your mind pure. No one's ever sinned that had a pure mind. You'll never commit a sin if you keep your mind pure. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Let me just read that to you. 2 Corinthians, and I use this in counsel a lot. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 5, the Bible says, casting down imaginations. A lot of times we let our minds wander, and the imaginations of the mind goes somewhere it shouldn't go, and before you know it, you are acting upon imaginations. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Only I can do that for me, and only you can do that for you. But I guarantee you, if you make sure of your thinking, you can limit the possibilities of your failures. Keep your mind pure. Keep your mind pure. Simple. But are we doing it? So go back with me. This is all going on with Joshua. So I said chapter 2 is mostly about Rahab, but can I tell you, there's a whole lot here to learn from Joshua. He needed the information that these spies would bring back, as long as they brought back what he asked them to go bring back. And as long as they would keep the faith, as long as he chose the right two men. Sending spies in was not flawed. The spies themselves flawed the mission that they were given. The second thing that he did that was a little different, he didn't publicize it, because he was protecting the minds of the rest of the Israelites. Something that he realized, if they would have done the first time, if these 12 would have just reported to Moses, and the people did not hear from these 12, but the people heard from Moses, Moses would have discredited the 10, and he would have accepted the 2. And he would have presented that to the people, because that was the message that God wanted them to take back, to have, is the message that the 2 had. Joshua had learned that. But the 12 came back, and not only did they report to Moses, they reported to all of the nation of Israel. And so it made it impossible for Moses, in the position he had, to lead the people, because they revolted from God and Moses. So Joshua said, all right, let's learn. This time we're going to send 2 in. And because I'm the one that's got the position of leadership, I am doing this for my help. The people don't need to hear what I need to hear. They just need to hear what God wants them to hear through me. That makes sense. Just get all that. Yeah. Because if they hear from man and they are influenced by the ten who not hearing this from God, they're not speaking the words of God. They're speaking out of fear, and they're speaking out of humanism, and they're speaking out of wrong things, and they influence the people, and the people make wrong decisions because they were influenced by the wrong voices. So we find here that not everyone, in verse chapter 1, he said, he sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly. And then he gives them what he wants them to do. Go view the land, Jericho, even Jericho. That's where I want you to focus. And just so you understand, when they come back in verse 23, so the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua. Nothing shows here that there was the millions of people there, but it was Joshua. Because Joshua had the position given by God, had the ear of God, to be able to make the decision that God wanted them to make, and that is to go over Jordan. And they answered to Joshua and told him all things. Wow. Can I tell you, in learning from this, not everyone needs to know everything that's going on with everybody. Not even in a church family. Not even in a personal home. I guarantee you, parents, your children don't need to know everything that you know that's going on in the church. They can't handle it. Their minds are not mature enough to understand everything. Amen. Not everyone needs to know everything that's going on with everybody. They returned back and gave report to Joshua. If it does not affect you, you do not need to know. They didn't need to know what the men reported back to Joshua. They needed to hear from Joshua because Joshua, they believed Joshua to hear from God. And they wanted to do what God wanted them to do. And Joshua was the one that would instruct them on what God wanted them to do. Joshua needed the information for himself so that he can make the right decisions with the will of God and doing the right thing. Yeah. They just went through this 40 years earlier. What a great testimony to Joshua that he did learn from that. And he did tweak things a little bit. And look at the victory that was given because of it. They had victory instead of defeat. Do you know that the more people who know about other sins of the people in the church, the more Satan will use that to hurt and discourage and somewhat defeat. If everybody knew all the sins that Travis commits every week, no one would have any peace at all. We would all be just so discouraged. If Travis can't live right, how can I live right? Now, I'm just kidding there. I don't think, as far as I know, it might have been the conviction of the Holy Spirit that led me to say that, Travis. I don't know. But what I'm saying, if something that I'm dealing with, the more people that know about that, the harder it is for that person to be reestablished in the church. And as long as their failures have not affected you or your family or the ministry in any way, you don't need to know about that. Because the more you know about the sins of the people in the church, the more discouraged you might be. If God doesn't give you a position that you have to know, then don't seek to know things that God does not want you to know. Joshua said, it wasn't flawed that they go in. God directed Moses to send them. I believe that God would have me to send them in. But I want to make sure that I do it to avoid the mistakes of the past. Maybe limit the possibility of our failures. I'm going to send two. I'm going to have them to report to me, because ultimately, God has put me in the position to make the decisions to lead the nation of Israel. Wow. That's good stuff. In closing, look at 22:23 and verse 22. He says here, and now the spies are there. And what I get from this is concerning Joshua, they didn't make it back when Joshua thought they would come back. They had to deal with a lot of adversity, and they had to be hid by Rahab. Then they had to hide in the mountains. And so Joshua believed he made the right decisions, or he wouldn't have done it. But now he's having to live with the decisions he made to send these two spies in. And the time that they were supposed to be back has come and gone. And the Bible says, and they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way but found them not. The whole time that they were gone, I believe Joshua would have been praying for them, God, that you would give them safe passage, God, that you would reveal, show to them exactly what they need to see so that they can bring back to me what you want me to have through these spies. And all the things that were going on, he was praying, probably fasting for them. When you make the decision that you believe it's a decision that God wants you to make, you have to be patient. You just have to be patient. No, that's the decision. I don't know why they haven't come back yet. I don't know if they're alive. I don't know if they're dead. I don't know what's going on. But I sent them. Now I've got the responsibility. I've got their lives in my hands. I put them in harm's way. I had to make sure, because of the position I have, if I put them in harm's way, that it's got to be of God. I make sure that I did it the way God wanted me to do it. Sometimes God allows us time to teach us patience. Now, Joshua had learned that before with Moses when he didn't come down out of the mount for 40 days. And the only one that waited on Moses to come off the mount, who never gave up on Moses, was Joshua. Even Aaron gave up on him. All the people gave up on him. But Joshua had patience, waited, knowing that God was going to deliver Moses from the mountain. And then we find the report. Their report sounded much like the report given by Caleb and Joshua 40 years earlier. And I believe when he heard them, Joshua looked at these two spies and he said, "You were me 40 years ago." Yeah. "You were me, you were Caleb 40 years ago." Because what you're saying is exactly what we said, told Moses 40 years ago. I wish we hadn't had those other 10 with us. And by them saying and giving the very same report that Joshua and Caleb would have given 40 years earlier, it was confirmation Isn't it a blessing to see God will do things in our lives that we know that only God knew and only God could have done that? And it's confirmation to know we're right in the middle, right in the center of God's will. He would have the peace, the assurance, and the encouragement he needed for chapter 3 and leading them into the promised land. Praise the Lord. If I could have every head bowed tonight. It's just what Joshua needed, and can I tell you, if you're looking to God, he'll give you just what you need in the time that you need it. Yeah. Invitation, opportunity to respond. God spoke to you tonight. Have you learned? Are you learning? Are you making the same mistakes over and over? Let's learn from the life of Joshua. Father, we bow before you tonight. Love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of the life of Joshua and what we learned in chapter 2. And I pray that we would not only learn of these biblical, historical truths, but we would be able to apply them to our lives today as you would have us to. Bless now this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.